welcome back to the Relay Bitcoin podcast. Super, super honored today to have the legendary Mike Sharmus, called the Muzz Man, aka Muzz, right from Miami in the show. So cool to have you here. Thanks for taking the time, Mike.
Yes, absolutely, Julian. We're due to catch up. We're due to hang out. You're an amazing all-star, super young founder. Not in his 20s anymore. Just got the 3 handle on your age. But yeah, I'm happy to hang out and chat with you, man.
There you go. What did you do when you turned 30? Did you already turn 30?
I got some of the best advice in my life. I was a little worried about 30s, right? Like, what happens in your 30s, you know? And somebody told me, they said, Muzz, the 30s are the best. And that is 100% been the truth.
Really? You know,
all the stupid, irresponsible mistakes, those are out of your way in your 20s, right? Those are done, or at least most of them, hopefully, are done. And then you finally start to make a little bit of real money in life. And the 30s are a blast, man. So I think you're going to have a good time.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. We will have a good time in Miami, that's for sure. We met in Miami the first time in person, and you took me to a couple of parties. Actually, you threw a party because it's obviously your hometown, right? You're in Miami right now. So how is this Bitcoin conference for you, and what are you looking forward for the next one?
So I am in Miami right now. I wouldn't say it's my hometown, but you know, I'm really a New Yorker at heart. They just unfortunately ruined the city. But I do love Miami, and it's been a lot of fun here in Miami Beach and a great quality of life. And I mean, I can pretty much walk to the conference, event center here, convention center in Miami Beach. So it's definitely convenient. Yeah, that's where we met the first time. And next time, I can't wait to meet you across the pond. All right, somewhere in Europe, on your turf. Where you can show me around. But it should be a good time this year for Bitcoin 23. Even with the bear market, I'm sure they're going to have crazy numbers of people. It's going to be nuts.
As usual, it's the biggest one. And I think this time, a lot of the shitcoin stuff, a lot of shitcoin companies and kind of crypto, DeFi, DeGen booths will be gone because they ran out of money, they crashed. But I remember that Celsius had probably one of the biggest booths in the hall. Like, Celsius was huge. And I remember I went there because we had a small booth as well. But as Bitcoin only companies, we were kind of one of the small fishes. And all these crypto DeGen projects were huge because this was when DeFi was really blooming, and like, you could get 50%, 60% annual return, APY, whatever. And then I took one of my teammates to the booth there, and we asked them a couple of critical questions, like, where is the yield coming from and stuff like that. They could, like, these people were, they were not even close to knowing what's happening in the background. Like, they just say, oh, you give me that much and I give you that much back. We were like, yeah, well, but what happens, like, in this black box? Like, can you give us a little bit of color there, like, background? Where's this yield coming from? They were like, they have great ways to kind of circumvent these questions, but they had no idea what's happening. And I'm actually glad that this all break down. Like, a lot of people probably lost money, and I feel sorry for them, but this year, next year, this conference, I think, will be a lot more signal and less noise.
Yeah, they probably lost a good grip of those sponsors. Let's see, Celsius, Voyager, HODL Knot, I think that's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else? I can't even think of them. But you know, the big booth of the like the crypto.com type of nonsense, I think that's I think those days are over. But that would make some really good man on the street, you know. I mean, if we could go back in time and just go to those booths and film it. And just, so tell me about your token. oh yeah, BlockFi, of course, they're gone.
They were huge as well. Yeah.
They won't be there.
Not the main sponsor was, and hopefully still is, Cash App, because they're cool. But they are Bitcoin only at their heart. And whatever you are investing in is Bitcoin only as well, right? So maybe we should tell people a little bit who you are. I think most of the Bitcoiners already know, but we have a lot of newcomers to the space that also listen to the show or watch the show that probably don't know you yet. So this guy is not a surfer, or not only a surfer. I mean, he does look like it. But he's also a fucking legendary VC investor in the Bitcoin space. So you run your own fund called Lightning Ventures, and you also run a syndicate, an angel investor syndicate, with hundreds of people that are investing in Bitcoin companies regularly with the same name, Lightning Ventures, right? So tell us a little bit about how this all started and what kind of projects you're now investing in. You must have invested in probably close to 100 projects at that point.
Yeah, definitely not 100 through Lightning Ventures, right? But we're about 15 or so, give or take, months old. And we've deployed about $6 million, I think. So we really definitely hit the ground running and are supporting the best Bitcoin-only companies that we can all throughout. You know, that's what's cool about Bitcoin, right? There's no boundaries. No languages. So whether it's something like Foundation Devices, or it's something like Crowd Health, you know, or Scarce City in the art, you know, there's a lot of different spaces. And that's what's kind of cool about this point in time, is there's more things to invest in. You know, it's not just an exchange. It's not just a wallet, right? You have these new type of exchanges that are, you know, advocating for self-custody, that have limited to no KYC, or maybe a KYC opt-in sort of option if you want to go above certain limits. You know, these are kind of new ideas that there weren't before. Before, you didn't have all this. So I think we've invested in about maybe 28 companies. A lot of small checks. I mean, we're not like a lot of the big VCs. We make up for it in heart. But you know, our check size is right around the 100 to 500,000. That's right where all of our deals land. So we don't have that big lead investor seven figure kind of cachet to us, but we definitely invest through a very small fund that we raised. And then we have the syndicate, which you mentioned, which is basically a way where anyone can participate for a low minimum, even $1,000, and invest in really cool companies like yours. And at this stage of the business, and especially in Bitcoin, your emails get answered. So if I send you an email or a referral from someone in our syndicate who wants you to partner up with somebody, you're probably at least going to answer my email at some point in time, right? And that doesn't happen with a lot of large, big companies, publicly traded ones, certainly not. Or even just companies outside of Bitcoin. Bitcoin has a kind of a unique, it's a unique group of people that are investing in that. So I like to advocate, you know, to get started in angel investing and early stage investing into, I mean, technology companies in general, but really Bitcoin companies. And that's what we're focused on in Lightning Ventures, is just investing in Bitcoin companies and then trying our best to support those companies by the investors who invested in by symmetry with other portfolio companies that we have, and just trying to dedicate resources. One of the things we're working on now is trying to create a department, right? We're toying around with calling it High Voltage. But, you know, just a department that's really going to just be dedicated to partnerships within our companies, and supporting them. If you wanted to make, you know, 300 t-shirts for the conference in Miami, you know, we have a good resource for that. You know, if somebody was looking for maybe help with their Twitter, you know, or a social media that didn't cost a lot, you know, or some press or some marketing or maybe hiring. Like, we want an entire department to just support founders and teams the best that we can. So the syndicate Lightning Ventures is open to anyone. Anyone can join and apply. And all you're going to see is Bitcoin companies, and likely you're going to know many of them. So that's really what we're focused on there.
Hey, this is Anna from Relay. I want to tell you why Relay is the best place to buy Bitcoin in Europe. Relay is newbie friendly. You download the app for Android or iOS and can buy or sell Bitcoin within 1 minute. Our app comes with a non-custodial Bitcoin wallet, so you always hold your own private keys, which means your Bitcoin are really yours. We also offer instant payment options, including Visa, MasterCard, and Apple Pay. Relay is used by over 40,000 Bitcoin investors all over Europe. Click the link in the description or head over to relay.app to get started now.
Yeah, you have built an amazing portfolio already of Bitcoin-only companies. Maybe you can name a few afterwards if you want, but like, I think it's a very unique thing as well. Like, there's not a lot of Bitcoin-only VCs yet, or angel syndicates yet. Fortunately, it is really growing. But when we started 2.5 years ago, when we started going on the market with Relay and looking for our first investors, it was really, there was a handful, not even, like, there was really nothing. And now there are already probably a dozen of really relevant Bitcoin-only VCs or angel syndicates, which is great, and it's a growing number, but still it's still such a small niche compared to like all the crypto funds. Like, I think A16Z from Andreessen Horowitz, the dedicated crypto fund, is they raised a fund of $4.5 billion. This is probably, there are not that many assets in the whole Bitcoin only VC landscape. And then obviously fintech VCs are even way bigger, and generalistic VCs are way, way bigger. So there's still a small niche that is growing, same with the Bitcoin only company niche. So I think it's fantastic what you guys are doing. You'll be the long-term winners, right? So it's amazing that not only for companies like us, you're really approachable, and we can early stage companies like us can get funding through you, but also the LPs that you have. Maybe you can talk a little bit more about these people. Are these Bitcoin OGs usually? Are these just regular angel investors? Could I, even as an entrepreneur who maybe saved some money, could I start investing with you? What are the people, like the LPs, looking like?
Okay, I don't want to forget that, and you asked a bunch of questions, so I don't want to forget that last one. But one cool thing is that you probably experienced when you started raising funds, or when you started just cold calling, how do I raise, what do I do? And there were a few, right? You probably talked to Oleg at Folger first. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a few that specialized in this, and maybe there were some fintech kind of VCs that dabbled in, you know, crypto, certainly not Bitcoin exclusive, but crypto, and maybe that was a good fit. But you probably in the beginning had to explain Bitcoin a lot. Yeah. You probably had to actually answer what is Bitcoin, maybe in the early days, why Bitcoin, what is the Lightning Network, is the Lightning Network Bitcoin, why not everything? Okay, and kind of all these questions. And that's what's cool about the way that the VC landscape for Bitcoiners and founders is growing, is because you don't have to answer those questions anymore. Off the top of your head, you can probably name at least six groups of Bitcoin focused VCs, maybe syndicates groups, maybe even individual angels, or even some family office, small family offices that solely invest in Bitcoin, and they cut big checks. And a lot of times that might be enough. That's all you need. You're not out there answering why Bitcoin, right? At this point in time, any VC who's asking you, when are you going to add Ethereum? When are you, Julian, going to add Polkadot? You know, or some of these other ridiculous things, you don't have to go through those conversations anymore, which is very cool. And that's kind of new. As far as the people that are in our network, we definitely have some old school Bitcoiners. We have a really big mix of people, okay? And those are current CEOs or founders of companies. Absolutely. To your question of could you invest? Absolutely. And I haven't gotten around to it yet. What I want to do is I want our portfolio founders in our fold. I don't care if they invest in the deals, right? Because that's how a lot of partnerships and things happen.
Exactly.
Okay. Is that if you, Julian, were just seeing some of our deals and reading our memos, you know, light bulbs would go off. Hey, Muzz, can you introduce me to the founder? I think I have an idea. This would be cool for us. We're planning something where we could work with them. And then it kind of takes on a life of its own. Right now, I try to make those intros. You know, I try to tie people together. Hey, you're a browser extension. You're a browser extension. You're a wallet. And these people are, and you're spending, right? And you're a wallet and you're rewards. How do we do this? You know, and just putting them together, even if it's just collaborative marketing, even if it's just user acquisition.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that now. But yes, I'd love to have you in the fold, whether you invest or not. And a good chunk of our founders are in there. It does lead to good things. The toughest part about this is the competition, okay, and the potential conflicts, which we haven't had anything yet. And we'd have to stay away from anything that was too close. But that is the only thing that we've yet to deal with it, right? Mm-hmm. There's been a little bit of overlap with some of, really, honestly, in your neck of the woods, really, a little bit. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of consolidation in this space. There's going to be a lot moving forward. And direct competitors, you know, we would just have to stay away from.
I see. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense to have this Bitcoin only focus, because as to your point, we actually have a whole dedicated pitch deck of like it's a deck of, I think, 15 slides. It's called Why We Are Bitcoin Only, or Why Relay Is Bitcoin Only. It's because we needed that. This was one of the big questions of all these generalistic and fintech and crypto funds that we were talking to. They just ask, you know, so when do you add all these other coins, or which coins will you add, or why are you Bitcoin only? And they just didn't, the discussion started at such a totally different level than with the Bitcoin only VCs, because with the Bitcoin only, the vision of the perception of where the world is going is already aligned. So you can start talking business, you can start talking about the important things, and not like, are we going left or right? And what is interesting to me is that, unfortunately, because of the fact that there's less money in Bitcoin only than in crypto in general, way less, the problem is that a lot of these companies, when they grow and they take on more money from other investors, because they need more money to grow, so they need to get into bed with these other investors, then at some point these other investors become so powerful that they can steer away from the Bitcoin only. Like, one of the companies I really admired a lot, and I don't want to bash them, they're still doing a great job, but it's Casa. Now, Casa was like the number one Bitcoin only company probably in the world, or at least in Europe as well. And they were staying strong to Bitcoin only with an amazing founder team they were all Bitcoin OGs. And so it was this amazing Bitcoin only success story for a couple of years. Great investors on board as well. Until recently, they came out with this announcement that they now also offer Ethereum, and who knows what they will offer next. Do you have some insight in that? Are you maybe still even invested in Casa? If you can mention that, and like, how do you feel about these stories?
Probably my friend bought me one of those Casa when they were like a hardware, kind of the node in a box kind of deal. You know, they pivoted out of that. That wasn't the original business, was different than it is now. We didn't invest in Casa. We actually never had a chance to, luckily. So we were able to kind of avoid that whole thing. you know, you should get a lot of credit for being a Bitcoin company and a Bitcoin only company. And in fact, every founder that is a Bitcoin only company should really get an extraordinary amount of praise, because it's so difficult to not fall into this bullshit. Mm. It's so hard. Okay. And you get so much pressure as a company from maybe some normie investors or some investors that aren't quite on the same wavelength from you, just constantly talking about how much more revenue there is and how much more stuff there is. And, you know, a lot of these other, the big exchanges, look, that's their business. You know, I mean, that's their business, is selling garbage, and that's it, regardless of what they think. And because you are a Bitcoin only company, you get like an overwhelming amount of support from the Bitcoin community, right? Mm-hmm. They just rally around you. You know, if Relay was also selling, 15 other tokens, it just wouldn't be the same. Right. And not only that, but even if you were selling these other tokens, it would probably still be like a nominal small amount of your actual volume. Mm-hmm. You know, there was an exchange that's like hardcore. They were Bitcoiners, you know, and they also had you couldn't even find it. You know, you couldn't even find it on their website, but it was like, oh, yeah, well, we also sell, you know, Ethereum and Litecoin. And it's like, why? What are you doing? And they're like, to be honest, it's like less than 3% of our total volume. So just freaking get rid of it. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you doing? Because then you get to boast that you're Bitcoin only. You get the whole gang, you know, circling behind you and championing you. So, you know, kudos to you for even being able to stick with this. And look, it doesn't last forever, right? It doesn't last for everyone. There's another good example, you know, not to name names, but, you know, some were Bitcoin only companies that mm-hmm. take other things, you know, or add them later, right?
There are also examples of companies that are really shitcoin casinos, but led by super OG Bitcoiners and Bitcoin maximalists. And then their narrative, or they are arguing that, look, we do this to support Bitcoin. So we sell all these other shit coins to make a shitload of money out of them, because, for example, Kraken is one of these examples, right? They have every coin. They make actually also the majority of their volume and revenue with these coins. They support ICOs, they do DeFi staking, they have more than 100 coin pairs, and they're trading a lot. Like, they are basically living off the adding new tokens when they come up. They charge them $500,000, like these teams, they charge them $500,000 or $1 million, and then they take them onto the platform, and then they get traded and whatever. They make a lot of money off that, but they're using, because at the top, these people, the founder and CEO of Kraken is actually a Bitcoiner, an outspoken Bitcoin maximalist. And he's using that, he says, this money to support Bitcoin in different ways, tries to lobby for Bitcoin in like the politics and stuff like that. So that's also a way. I mean, it's fair. Dan Held also talked about this in our episode that we had. Like, he's also a Bitcoin proponent, but he doesn't care if people make money out of shitcoins or other cryptos. I mean, in the end, it's a free world. Everyone can do whatever he or she wants to do, right? But it's important to understand that that Bitcoin is really fundamentally different to all these other crypto coins.
That is kind of lazy failure to innovate, okay? Because I remember Coinbase when I think they only sold Bitcoin at one point in time. So I remember that. And then maybe it was Bitcoin and Ethereum only. There was, and I remember the ICO altcoin, I'm not ICOs, but the altcoins of 2013, in that whole era, right? Like, that felt overwhelming. I mean, compared to right now, it's ridiculous. But look, what does a company like Kraken do to grow? Once you plateau and you get to that level, what else do you do besides add garbage? Okay. Adding garbage is the easiest way to not actually innovate and grow, right? Like Relay, for example, okay? If you, which you're growing like crazy, okay? But if you were looking, okay, to innovate and how do you grow, okay? You might add retirement plans in Europe. I know there's a whole different system there of how retirement funds work and what you can do, but you might do other things. You might either partner with a company or do something in the card space, okay? Mm-hmm. Where now there's a Relay card that's in your pocket and there's some rewards and there's other ways, okay, of innovating. You might do expanded payroll services, you know, direct deposit stuff. You know, you would stay in the Bitcoin-only mindset and actually innovate, maybe mm-hmm. expanding to other continents. You know, maybe doing some type of non-scammy actual loan, a revolving line of credit sort of thing that might actually work. I'm just throwing it out there. Somebody should do it. There should be a Bitcoin line of credit that actually works, right? So that's what you have to do when you're in a Bitcoin-only company, is you can't just be like, what do we do for volume? Oh, add these 500 things and let people just get wrecked all day. You know, oh, let's increase the margin so people can lose more money, right? You know, you actually have to be creative, you know, which is something cool that Bitcoin-only founders are focused on.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's high value. You really try to add value, which is very hard in this whole crypto circus, because it's so easy to make money out of thin air. You know, and it's easy to get sucked into that as an investor, as an entrepreneur, as a user. And so to keep this Bitcoin only approach and to really focus on actually building a sustainable business and adding value to the people based on Bitcoin, which is the most decentralized, like neutral, open form of money that we all want to see, is hard when at the same time you can just throw a token out of into the market and get a multi-billion-dollar valuation, depending on which hype cycle you are in, and then you're fucking multi-millionaire without doing anything. It's hard, but it really comes down to what values you have and how important money is for you in general, like having a lot of money. I mean, but I wanted to quickly also touch on the Lightning topic. So you must be, or you are, a big proponent of Lightning, obviously. That's why you probably called your fund and your syndicate like it. What's your kind of, how do you observe the Lightning space in the last couple of years? I think really Lightning is a thing since 2016-ish, when it really went live and people could start dabbling into it. So it's now 5-6 years. What has developed since then, and where do you see it going? What kind of fun, interesting applications do you see going forward with Bitcoin and Lightning?
So yes, Lightning Ventures is a jazzy name, but really it's Bitcoin only. So that's all things Bitcoin. I'm very excited about Liquid. We've made a few investments into companies that are building with the Liquid sidechain that I'm also pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Lightning is at scale, right? Lightning is Bitcoin at scale. And even if you're just bored and you're poking around on LN Bits, my gosh, the amount of cool stuff that you can do there. You know, if you have the time to play around with it, even small things, even putting messages into QRs, thanking someone for their purchase. This really cool guy is doing this scavenger hunt where he's hiding hardware wallets around the world, in physical hardware wallets, buried them, you know, just in all these obscure places. And then there's these clues, and you pay this invoice. It's very small, right? 1,000 sats or whatever. And you get a clue that just comes up in your Wallet of Satoshi app, and you write it down and you get these other clues and you go on this scavenger hunt, right? There's really cool things that you can put inside there. And messaging, you know, messaging over Lightning is something that I'm starting to get a lot more inbound of people working on things. El Salvador. There's a startup out there. They're floating around with voting, right? And I've had so many nonsense crypto voting blockchain, terrible things. But, you know, this is one of the guys who is responsible for orange pilling the president and has a pretty decent role over there in the government. And that's interesting that they're looking at something like that. You know, the hard cost to actually vote is like $12 per person. Like, you know, that's the actual cost for somebody to cast a vote is insane. How much could they get that down by using Bitcoin? There's so much going on. I mean, it's almost impossible to keep track of. It was reckless back then. It's still reckless now, really. You know, I mean, the stuff like Impervious, the browsers, the it's utilized. Just a main use case alone is utilizing Lightning to cut costs, just to cut transaction fees in every possible way, right? Whether you're earning from advertising, whether you're paying for artwork of any kind, whether you're a creator in the creator economy and someone's tipping, right? And those tips add up, and then there's all these sort of fees and nonsense to get them out of this walled garden sort of system and into your pocket. It's leveraging all of that. It's Bitcoin in gaming. It's Bitcoin in gaming to onboard the next billions of people where they just figure it out, right? It's also kind of the innovations of something like Strike, where people are using they're facilitating a lot of payments, but people don't even know they're using Lightning, right? Mm-hmm. It's just fiat to fiat, and I think that's kind of a very clever way that these things get into the stores, right? You don't necessarily need, you know, Walmart or one of these Fortune 500 companies to accept Bitcoin, because they could load a Relay debit card, maybe. And you know, they're basically the customer is paying with Lightning, and they don't even know. Lots of chat communication apps. There's a ton of stuff going on. There's the infrastructure stuff, like Galloway, that are building a lot of these things. There's things like Voltage, right, that try to do nodes at scale, where anybody for X amount of dollars a month, that's like a one click ish BTC pay server integration, you know, built in there. Yeah.
You know what's super crazy to me is like that all of this happens in the deep, one of the deepest bear market we've ever had. we're not even in the hype cycle. Like, we could talk hours and hours about all the interesting startups that are happening on all the different supply chain areas of Bitcoin, right? From Bitcoin mining to Bitcoin hardware wallets, software wallets, trading, exchanges, brokerage, and Lightning, like the whole payment network. It's the whole financial universe, financial based layer that is being built, rebuilt on an open source, you know, decentralized, neutral, censor rip resistant network. And it's just going on and on, and more the network effect is spreading around the world. More and more users every day, more and more entrepreneurs every day, more and more investors every day are working on this decentralized financial infrastructure called Bitcoin and with Lightning and so forth. And it's in the deepest bear market. There's no hype at all. Like, 90% of the people don't care at all about Bitcoin right now. The press doesn't care about Bitcoin right now. And we're all still going on. Like, imagine 2024 comes along and the next halving and the next hype, most likely, and like whenever we will hit the new all-time high or even 100K in fiat value, which most of us don't even really care about. imagine what's going to happen then. It's going to be your portfolio is going to blow up. You'll have hundreds of new companies that you will invest in.
Well, I don't know about hundreds. We have to scale ourselves, right? Just like you've scaled Relay into the headcount that you have and the countries that you're in and the volume that you're doing. But the core thesis from the beginning is investing in companies that are not affected by the price, that are not affected by these bear market periods, whatever is going on in the world. And with the exception of the mining sector, which we haven't made any mining investments. Personally, I've made one or two, but we haven't invested in any mining companies. So companies like yours is a perfect example of what we're looking to invest in, whether it's a bull market, whether it's a bear market, because you're seeing record volumes. Mm-hmm. You're seeing record signups, you know? And a lot of our companies, doesn't matter, price goes up, price goes down, they're still doing well. So that's what we try to focus on, is no matter what. And if you're a veteran hodler, I can't think of a better word, and you've been through it before, it's not really that big of a deal. You know, I mean, the price of Bitcoin doesn't even, you don't even think about it. You know, is it 16,000? Is it 14,000? Is it 27,000? I mean, it's fun to celebrate when the price goes up. You know, it's fun to be in a bull market. You know, you almost forget. What's it like when the price is going up $3,000 a day? I can't even barely remember, you know, but after you've been doing this for long enough, I mean, it doesn't even bother you, you know? But probably some new people who invested a small amount and they think, right? They see that fiat value and they think that it's down. You know, they got to just take the pill.
Yeah, it's always what it does is it brings new people in, right? Because of the price movements, it's in the press again. The media talks about it. It's on Fox News and CNN and CNBC, whatever. All these big. So then people are getting crazy, FOMO. They want to jump in, and also Bitcoiners. They feel like I don't have enough, and they FOMO in as well. They buy more. That's exactly what we see on the platform a lot. If the price goes down, people buy because they think it's, you know, buy the dip situation, it's cheap sats, and some newcomers are coming in because they feel like, oh, I didn't want to buy at 60K, it was too much, I couldn't afford one Bitcoin, stuff like that. And then now that it's crashed to 15K or whatever, they now want to get in. But also if it goes up, people are FOMOing and they don't want to miss the boat. And Bitcoiners feel like, oh, no, I should have bought more, you know, I need to. But that's the good thing about the price movements, and I think that's something that Satoshi actually thought about, that he understood how people behave, that they are kind of irrational, and if something is volatile in price, they will always find it interesting, and there will be boom and bust cycles that actually in the end help adoption. But yeah, in the end, one Bitcoin is one Bitcoin, right? And as long as you hold it in your non-custodial wallet, it's all fine. You can sleep well knowing that whatever happens to the crazy fiat system, you will always have your Bitcoins, and you will have a community that will be willing to exchange them for anything you want.
That's pretty good. One Bitcoin is one Bitcoin as long as you don't fucking lose it.
As long as we don't give it to Celsius for some shitty interest rate.
Let me ask you real quick. So what, when you came to Miami last year, when you were in the U.S., you know, you're not operating in the U.S.
No.
So, you know, that's not a cheap conference, right? It's not like unconfiscatable that I hope to have still something to do with, right? We sell our sponsorships very cheap, all right? Mm-hmm. And I know that Bitcoin Magazine doesn't. So why would you do that in a country that you're actually not operating? What was that about?
It's actually mainly networking. So we wanted to meet a lot of these Bitcoin-only VCs. For example, we met you the first time. We met the guys from Stillmark, you know, Alice Killeen, the guys from 1031, like all these kind of renowned Bitcoin VCs. Most of them are American. Almost all of them are there at this conference. That's mainly the reason why we wanted to go there, because we were raising as well. At this point, but also just to mingle with the global Bitcoin community. We are only operational in Europe right now, but we see ourselves as a global company. Like, we will be a global company in the next couple of years. So already now, if we can have access to the global Bitcoin space, this is really important for us. And we also wanted to test the waters a little bit, maybe, like how the demand is for Relay in the US, whether we should really like act on it because the demand is super high, or whether we should wait and maybe there's other countries that we or other continents that we should explore first, and just also the publicity and visibility to get some, you know, exposure, global exposure online. It helped us a lot to grow our Twitter profile, which is now like above 20k followers, stuff like that. So it helped on a lot of different angles. Not sure if we will. We definitely want to be there again at the next Bitcoin conference. Not sure if we will be a sponsor again. Probably not, because now the budgets are more tight, and we really need to focus on you know, the team and user acquisition. That's mainly the two things that we are spending money for right now, not more. But we definitely want to be there again. I have met great people that I'm still in touch with, and they're still very valuable for the project there.
Well, you got more people in Europe over there than you have here, so.
Yeah, it's true. It's a very 400 million people. It's a very attractive continent to be in business in Europe. That's why we focus. 2023, we'll still focus on that market. But in 10 years, we will be a global publicly traded company, hopefully, with your help.
Well, all right. So hopefully we're going to get you for a proper interview on the Lightning Ventures channel, because I got 100 other questions on your growth strategy and user acquisitions, okay, and other countries and Europe regulations that might be coming down the line 2025. I got a million other questions. I'll have to save them for another time.
Let's do this as soon as possible. Hit me up. I wanna have a second episode of that, because I really, really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you, Mike, for taking the time. As always, you are such a great support for the Bitcoin ecosystem. And let's talk on your channel another day.
You got it. And congrats on all your success and everything that you've been doing lately. I know there's a bunch of top secret news you can't share here, but congrats on everything.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Have a good one, Mike.
You too.
That's a wrap.